Terrific. How are you?
Hey, doing fine. How are you doing?
Terrific. Getting used to this, you know, working remotely.
Yeah, I actually got to go into my office.
Wow.
For a couple of days, then I was on vacation for a couple of days, but I went in for the first time in about 100 days, and there's 40 guys in my office, and there was only 8 people in there, and you know, it was interesting. I mean, it's quiet, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So what do you
it's
think?
Really quiet.
Was it weird?
It was weird. I mean, it felt good to get back in there. You know, there's a certain vibe that you get from being in your office and just sitting in your, you know, in your world there. So it was nice to, get back and for a piece of that. I was in Florida last week for a couple of days. And so I stayed home this week just to kind of let things settle in and see if, you know, I don't think I'm sick, but you never know.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's crazy. You know, they're reporting that all these cases are going up, but I talked with a friend who is an EMT, and they said that if you're sick and you have COVID and you go to the hospital, then they ask you how many people are in your house. And then they count all those people, whether or not they've been diagnosed or come into the hospital for their own treatment, but they count all those people as also having COVID. So if you live in a house with 4 people and you go into the hospital, now they say you're sick and the other members of your house are sick. So now you immediately get a count of 4 people.
Huh.
And then if another person in the house is sick and they go in and now they have it, then they use that same formula again. So in theory, now they could double count people that they claim are sick, but may actually have already been counted.
Wow. So he confirmed that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that could easily become more people, 4 times as many people as are in the whole state.
Yeah. In theory, I mean, in theory, it's easy to get your head around why the numbers are going up. They're testing more. Obviously, they have more kits out there. They're more aware of it. But, you know, number two, it's the way that the system is set up to count people is really designed to find as many people as sick as possible.
I wonder why they do it that way.
I don't know. If you're a conspiracy theorist, you would say
get more money.
Get more money, create more fear, you know, make people paranoid that the only way that they can survive is if they listen to everything the government tells them and they don't go out and they don't do anything. And, you know, there's a lot that could be viewed from that.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Wow. So he said that's for real, and you can confirm that, huh?
Yeah, this is from the hospital. This is from an ENT who takes people to the hospital, talking with the doctors at this is a local hospital here. So this is how they're doing it in Pennsylvania.
I wonder if they're doing it that way in Florida. Sure have had a spike. 60,000 people, you know, today. So they could easily spike that up, couldn't they? It could get crazy.
Next thing you know, everybody's sick, and some of them may not really be sick.
Right, so. Right. Most of them aren't. Interesting. So, what's on your mind? What can I do for you?
Well, I want to make sure, that I'm still trying to get my head around some of this planning, because my assistant and I are kind of going back and forth with how everything needs to be structured. I've identified my top people. You know, I'm going through that list right now, and basically I've been in communication or will be in communication with those top 20 people. I'm starting to, but where the confusion for me is actually the best way to label these calls. I've got, you know, call number one on the books with this person. So I, you know, if I'm saying that this is my start date, it is now the middle of the year, July, and now I'm going back for my mid-year report to all of my people. And so I've got my reviews on the books. I'm, you know, sending them the email with the review material. I'm sending them an email with, you know, my thoughts for the call, asking them if there's anything that they want to add to that call. So, right. So I've done that. Now as that call ends, like today, I had a call this morning with a client and I've got to send a follow-up email to them, kind of recapping everything that we talked about today. So I'm going to have that on, you know, done. I'm taking that email. I'm pasting that to the client's account as proof of our conversation, of right. everything that we discussed. So that shows why things were done the way that they were done. So I've got those things in place. But now, like as an example, so I have three calls today, mm-hmm. and then I'm doing a follow up for each of those people by the end of today. Now, my next step with those people is scheduling our next call, right? Which I did. I scheduled my next call, but then, the scheduling piece to this so that they're on a regular schedule. I mean, I think the ultimate goal is that these people pop up on a schedule in at least once a month with some kind of communication that I need to get out to them.
Yeah, you're doing it and you shouldn't be. All right. There's, Jennifer should be doing almost everything but the agenda and the executive summary. Otherwise, you shouldn't even worry about this. You should come in every day, and theoretically, if you were in the office, you'd have three folders on a rack in your office, and those are the three people that you have appointments with that day. Now, you can have her print off your schedule for the day, or you could look on Outlook. They should all be scheduled on Outlook so you can look ahead and know exactly who you're going to talk to for the next week, next month. Mm-hmm. But you don't schedule any of those. And when you drop in a name, it automatically populates the calendar for the year, equally distributing between the 12 calls, the four reviews, and the two in-person meetings. So if you had 100 clients, the maximum of calls you'd ever have on any one day would be 5. You'd have one in-person meeting and one phone review.
So she's kind of debating with me about how these should be entered into Outlook for the follow-ups. And basically, like,
it should automatically populate Outlook.
So
if you enter in the name into the scheduler, mm-hmm. you just enter the name into the scheduler, it automatically populates Outlook.
So the time's essentially going to be the same every time.
It's going to be the first Tuesday of the month at 9:00.
Okay.
It's not going to be a date. It's going to be the first Tuesday of the month at 9:00. It's not going to be on the second. You don't care what date it is. The date varies.
So really she just puts in one call and then
she puts in one name. She drops a name in, and based on that date you drop it in, it creates It's all, so she wants to drop them in. So if she's going to drop in 20, if she's going to drop in 20 names, they would, you drop them in so that they aren't the same day, right? You drop them. Well, you can drop them. You can make it, you can make your calendar anything you want. You can make it so it's completely equally distributed, or you can say, I don't want to work Fridays. I want to prospect Fridays, or I want
right.
Fridays to be light. I want to be done by noon. Or you can say, I want to work 2 weeks straight making calls, and then I want to prospect for 2 weeks. So you can make it anything you want. You determine what your operating hours are and what your office hours are.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drops in the names and it fills your calendar accordingly. But you shouldn't be making appointments and you shouldn't be doing anything but working on the agenda and the executive summary.
Okay.
Too much stress. You're taking on all the stress. And if she needs help, have her call Cindy and she'll walk her through it. They should have already had an hour long call on how to work the scheduler.
I don't know if they've ever had the call. That's interesting. I think I don't honestly know. I don't have an answer to that.
But the point is that, look, this game is hard enough the way we're having to play it right now, right? In many cases, you don't have anybody to send the accounts to, the small accounts. You don't have your folders. You can't go in the office. I mean, and then making you do the scheduler, that would be too much. Okay.
Okay.
This is not, this is supposed to be different work, better work, more focused work, but not a lot, just extra work. No, just extra work. The theory is if you have fewer clients, Jennifer's job is much easier and she has time to do all the scheduling, and really running your calendar.
Okay.
If you have the same number of clients, then you got, you know, you just have to ask her to step up and until you have a way of getting the clients to somebody else, just have to step up and do extra duty here.
So, I mean, in theory, there's some people that may not want to talk every month or, and there, I mean, I talked to one of my biggest clients the other day and I said, hey, you know, I wanted to get our call scheduled. And he's like, well, Bart, his wife's a semi-pro golfer. She's traveling around the country. She's got a lot of tournaments coming up. He's like, I don't really have time to schedule a review or she's available until September. So he's giving me a pushback.
Sure.
And so I'm like, okay, well, okay, I get it. I get it. Let's.
I don't need, you know, she doesn't need to be on every call.
Okay.
Okay. And, you need to talk to him every month. It can be 5 minutes, but the world is changing very fast. And this is your future. I think it's important that we talk every month. After we've done this for 6 months, if you don't like it, you don't think it makes sense, you're not getting anything out of it, then we can go to something else.
So in theory, if I schedule, so I get done with my call today with Dr. Brown, with Dr. Walker, I'm done with those calls today. And then essentially I'm going to say, Jen, okay, add this one into the system. Let's put them on a 12-month contact schedule at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whenever it is on that time each week. And then boom, it's on the calendar. I tell the client, I'll plan to talk to you next month around this time as a follow up.
About this time. You're going to talk to him
on this time. So then, exactly this time.
And that's his obligation to be there.
And then what happens next is then at the beginning of each week on Monday morning, Jen and I are doing our review for the week. In theory, right. On Monday of that week, I should have all worked out all the agendas for the week, the next week, right? I should say, here are my agendas for, if today's Monday and now I'm sitting down with Jen and we're looking at the calendar for this week, I'm saying, okay, we've got, 25 people that I'll be talking to this week. I here are those people. And then, oh, by the way, here's the agenda for the 25 people for next week.
Right? Whatever you think gives you enough time to be ready and so she can do uninterrupted work. She can crank out a lot of work if you don't interrupt her. So it's very important that you give her enough time to be prepared, whatever that happens to be.
Okay.
If she needs a week, great. If she needs 3 days, great. Whatever okay. It is. But the idea is no more interruptions where you come in and say, hey, Dr. Brown's coming in this afternoon. We're going to get his review ready. And the world goes to hell in a handbasket and you get ready for Dr. Brown's review at 2:00. And she didn't find out till 9:00 that morning. That's like right. Nightmare.
Right.
That can't happen.
Okay, so next piece to this. So I had an issue with a client that got a line of credit. We sent her the line of credit. Yep. The line of credit went out. My assistant didn't give the client a heads up that the line of credit was going out. I client got it. Said, well, I didn't need it today. My deal fell through. I don't know why you didn't check with me beforehand. And then now I've spent the last week trying to correct the error, which is going to turn into be a $500 error because of where LIBOR is and because of where interest rates are and, restating the note and yada, yada, yada. So now in the midst of that happening, how is that built into my daily schedule? Because there's going to be problems that happen, right? Wires right. that need to go out, stuff that happens.
Sure.
How are guys building that into their day? Do they earmark 11:00 to 12:00 every day to be problem solved time, or how does that work?
That can be anything that you need. So you say, I absolutely have got sacred prospecting time. Okay. Or I've got sacred problem solving time, or I've got sacred client calling time. All you do is you build your day according to what you need. And if you don't have time to, you can't, calling 25 people a week is a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 100. So you say, what if I didn't call 25? What if I called 20? That would be better. That theoretically you give away those other people and you make your life more meaningful. You give your balance, give some balance to your life. But maybe you can't make that decision right now. But that's the theory, right? That you need time to solve that, and Jen needs time to make sure that never happens again, right? Because
right.
we can't have that happen.
Right.
So everybody's got to have time so you don't screw up.
Right.
That's where the fewer clients comes in. Fewer better clients, give them great service, And you can't give great service when you've got 600 clients. So,
right.
You know. And that's why you can't have, you know, when we talk about the 24-month calendar, right? We want to be really organized. We want to do some great marketing. We want to present good ideas to our clients. But when you do something like lines of credit, you're going to generate a lot of activity. So let's say you do, you know, liability management this month. Well, you need a month to follow up. So you don't make liability management 1 month and then make, you know, beneficiary reviews the next month.
Right.
So you give yourself 2 months on every new idea that's going to have some legs. Meaning if I do this for 100 people, 20 of them are going to say, I need this, or my kid needs this, or somebody needs this. So I'm setting myself up for a lot of business, but also a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So I got to give myself time to do it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's why we call it a 24-month calendar and not a 12-month. So we have time to introduce 8 new ideas over 24 months. Only 8, not 24. In the meantime, we use the calendar to drive the other ideas, like required minimum distribution. Mm-hmm. That's going to have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk about that. So I'm not going to schedule liability management on top of required minimum distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I kind of disagree with people on, they say, well, if we're going to do liability management and the guy's paid off his mortgage, I'm not going to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about something else. And I go, no, no. I mean, you know, it's his practice. But the point is that everybody knows somebody that isn't managing their liabilities properly.
Mm-hmm.
They need a mortgage. They need to pay off a credit card. They need a securitized loan. They need help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you present it to them, you do it in an educational way. I mean, maybe they don't have a mortgage. Maybe they should have a mortgage. Maybe they want to put an addition on the house, and so we take out a small mortgage to do that.
Right.
Right. So. Nothing is permanent, especially when it comes to liability management or asset management.
Right.
To say it's a permanent situation is as ridiculous as saying asset management's permanent.
Right.
It's crazy, right? So I would present an idea like that to everybody. You know, beneficiary updates, that should be it presented to everybody.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Cause you know, we're going to review everything that has a beneficiary. Well, what do you mean? Well, your IRA rollover has a beneficiary, right? Do we have that in the right name? Do we have this in the right name? So you got to do some homework for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you own an annuity? Yes. Why, you know, you've never mentioned it before. Well, I bought it such and such, and who's the beneficiary? I don't know. Okay, let's take a look at it.
Okay.
So you're doing the right thing for the client. It's causing you to do some work, but you know what? The next year you don't have to do it over again, right? Once you've done beneficiary management, you don't have to do that for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Okay. You know, once you've done liability management, you probably don't have to do that again for another 18 months. So when you do this work, you think, oh my God, this is hard work. No, but you're not going to have to do it for a long time. So, you know, and it's, and you're going to do some business because of it. You're going to help your client because nobody's doing that. They wait for the client to mention it. There's never anything proactive when it comes to liability management. Never anything proactive when it comes to beneficiaries. Risk management, which is everything that's insurance related. Rarely does that come up, you know, mostly brought up by the clients. So all those things are great agenda items, but each one is at least a 2-month project. And if you say to yourself, you know, I need 3 months to manage, to do risk management, because I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do everything from, life insurance to, long-term care to, you know, hurricane insurance. You know, I'm going to cover everything. And so I need 3 months to review all that stuff.
Okay.
So can you do that for 200 people? Not really. That's why we say you need to have less than 100.
Okay.
And the more money they have, the more relevant all these topics are.
Okay.
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 So did you, what are you doing with, did you leave the folders there or did you activate them or what are you doing?
I mean, I don't have there's folders in my office. So I have not, I mean, Jen and I haven't really been face to face in 100 days. So
we're still stuck that way, right?
We're still stuck that way. I mean, yeah. I have. So my calls have all been, you know, conference calls and not really face to face stuff. And,
right.
And so,
but from a productivity point of view, it's really more efficient, you know, for both of you. If a client has to come in and see you, that's at least a 2 or 3 hour process, right? For them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the reality is that when I look at what has been, you know, the system and how I've been running my business for 23 years, I have been very inefficient and I'm just like shooting, you know, spraying darts on the wall and wherever something lands, that's where I'm going at it. So, you know, I'm not starting at the top and making sure that my top people are, I mean, in theory, I'm going to the top each, at least a quarterly, getting those people on the phone, getting a review set up, doing that, discussing, but I'm not expanding it into these other areas the way that I need to be. And
plus you're never getting to the bottom people. Right.
And I'm rarely getting to the bottom people. Correct.
Right. Cause you always start at the top and work your way down. And then the next quarter comes up and you start over again. I know. Look, I live there, you know, so that's why we started Supernova. So you wouldn't have that guilt of, damn, I haven't called that guy in 6 months and he's a good guy, you know?
Yep. Totally.
So, that's what this is. That's what really is to put a wall of competence around your practice so you never lose one of your best clients. That's the purpose, to give them a great experience, build your brand. And so when you say, well, this guy only wants me to call him every 6 months, well, you know, he's not a client. He's a customer.
Right.
Right? He doesn't know what it's like to be a client. You haven't introduced yourself as his consultant. You're his broker, or you're his something, but it's not the guy he relies on for every financial decision.
Right.
And that's what you have to do. You have to reintroduce yourself and say, yeah, except we've got a new game, you know. And you have to tell them what you're going to do. You hired a consultant for this purpose because you were frustrated which you have been. I mean, look, reality, right? Frustrated because you're not, it's not as organized as you need to be, and you're not delivering the same client experience that you used to deliver. And we're, you know, and therefore to keep the brand intact, you need to make some changes. Therefore, hired a consultant, reviewed the practice, and this is what together we've agreed that we're going to do. So we're going to offer every single client multi-generational planning, and we're going to help fully implement that financial plan through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And they'll go, oh my God, it sounds great, but how are you going to able to do that? And you say, because we're only going to have 100 relationships, 100 families. And they say, am I one of them? And you say, yes, you'll be pleased to know that you are one of them. But here's what I want to have you understand. In order for me to do this, I have to operate like a professional. So we're going to have an agenda. We're going to have an appointment, and then I'm going to send you an executive summary for each and every appointment. In order to do that, I need for you to be there or to call and cancel if you can't be there. Just like you would with your doctor, your dentist, your CPA, your attorney. So we're just going to operate like other professionals in our industry, in your life. And all I ask is that you be there and be prepared, because I'll send you the agenda, look it over. If you have something to add, add it and send it back to me. And then when I send you the executive summary, review it, because there will be parts of that agenda that are your responsibility. And this is really important, because one of the biggest frustrations FAs have is that the clients never do what they say they're going to do. And so you say, you know, this is a frustration for everybody. You get busy, I get busy, and then we have our follow-up call and you haven't had the chance to meet with the estate planning attorney. So we're going to send an executive summary which says you're going to meet with the estate planning attorney, and I'm going to make sure that that happens.
Right.
Okay, and you're going to make sure that happens so that we can move forward. Because my obligation is to fully implement your financial plan so that you get the kind of results that you deserve.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And if they don't do it, you won't get the results. And I would go so far, and this is a long way, but if you have somebody that won't do estate planning, I would send them a letter acknowledging the fact that they have not followed through on their estate planning, and they relieve you of any responsibility. Because I can see the day, especially with best interest out there, where clients sue us for not implementing their financial plan. You did the plan, you told me what to do, and you never followed up. And therefore, my husband died, and it was recommended that we have $1 million life insurance policy, and you never bought it for him. I'm suing you for $1 million plus heartache, $5 million. Now, getting sued and winning are two different things. But why would you ever set yourself up for that kind of liability?
Right.
Headache. And so therefore you have to be a tough guy when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
And then say, hey, you know, look, it's your life. If you choose not to do this, it's fine. But the plan says you need it. I say you need it. Any attorney would say you need it. If you choose not to do it, I'm just going to send you a liability management letter that says that you relieve us of any liability when it comes to that particular choice you've made.
Okay.
It's going a long way. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever done it, but I've always advised people that when you take on the responsibility of planning somebody's life, you better take it seriously.
It's a great point.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Litigious world. They're always looking for anything, right? COVID-19, they're going to be suing hospitals. They're going to be suing. They're already, Morgan's already on the TV. If your loved one died of COVID-19, call here, you know, malpractice, da, 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 da. They're whores, you know, they'll get you if they can. And you gotta, I mean, I'm not paranoid. It's reality.
Where's Morgan based out of? Are they based out of North Carolina?
I think they're out of Florida. They're countrywide. They're the largest.
I saw their ad in Florida on the bus and on a billboard, and that's what it said. It said largest, you know, firm. And then the guy's picture that's is the founder of Morgan and Morgan. You know, he's
right. It's his son. I've listened to him, the dad. Now I'm listening to the son. And they were both born out of the same egg, you know. They're both horror shows. So anyway, I'm not a big fan of trial lawyers, as you can tell. But so I'm, you know, part of my job was to be the compliance director. You know, I had a head of compliance work for me, but you know, and the buck stops with me in the end, right? If I'm running the district and the offices and people screw up, it ends up on my doorstep. You should have, you know, failure to manage, right? Failure to supervise. So I was always like, okay, before we leave, let me tell you what they're going to get you for. And the fact that you send an executive summary gets rid of one of the biggest liabilities that you have, which is an I say, you say. The old I say, you say was, you know, I didn't agree to that annuity. Oh, yes, you did. Here's the documentation. Here's where I sent you. We put it on the agenda. We talked about it. I sent you an executive summary. You didn't call back and said, no, we didn't do that. You didn't say a word. Therefore, the assumption is you got it and that you agreed. So that's what the lawyers, your lawyers, want more than anything. By the way, the guy that introduced me at the manager's meeting for the first introduction of Supernova to the firm was the head of compliance. He said to me, I want to introduce you at the manager's meeting. He made a special trip to go to the manager's meeting, the national manager's meeting, and introduce me. And he stood up and he said, if everybody does what Rob Knapp is telling you to do, I can reduce an entire floor of lawyers at Merrill Lynch. I can fire them because I'm not going to need them. That's how important this is.
Wow.
Never forgot it. I rode to the airport with him. He said, I just wish everybody would listen to you.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hey, you made me think I'm not exactly where I want to be with all this yet, but I'm getting there. And, it's a good call today. I know, I mean, I guess we're scheduled for next week, but then you're off the following week and then I'm off the week after that. And then when we get back,
yeah,
it'll be
hopefully they're inflating these numbers and we're going to be back to work and everything will be okay. And we'll have herd immunity and a vaccine and all these good things. But If not, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We'll be
okay.
Fine. All right. But good, good. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you listen while I rant.
Oh, no, it's all good. I mean, it all just gives perspective to, you know, what it's all about. And it's definitely, makes me think at a much deeper level how I'm running things. So I appreciate it. And, I've definitely been more focused on things now than I've been in a very long time. So it's good. I appreciate it.
When they come knocking on your door for regulation BI, you can say with a big smile on your face, it's all taken care of, sir. I'm doing Supernova. And they'll be like, okay, you're done. Turn around and walk away. So,
all right.
That's your answer. And that's just one regulator. So, but they'll be knocking. And when they come, you'll be ready. That's the key. Be ready.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do.
Good, Rick.
All right.
All right. Good talking to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You too, Rob.
Have a good week. See ya.
Yep. You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.